So what comes to your mind when you hear a phrase like, or a statement like, oh, their heart's not in it? Okay, yeah, they didn't give it their all. There's no passion. So what are you getting at when you're getting at passion? What's that? Oh, enthusiasm, yeah. And what is enthusiasm? What is passion? What is that related to? Okay. Yeah, there's a whole gamut of thing. Gamut of things that come to mind, and the whole they didn't give it their all is definitely one. Then there's the issue of were they really wanting to do it? Then there's a question of beliefs, and then typically issues related to feelings come to mind. Because that's what we think of when we think of heart, is feelings. I was studying, reading, more than reading, not quite studying to preach, but going through the prophets recently for class down in Vallejo that I was teaching, Old Testament 2 survey, which meant Job through Malachi in 10 weeks. It was a whirlwind. And we did Isaiah and Jeremiah for the same night because they're contemporaries. They're both pre-exilic prophets and they deal with similar issues with Israel. And in Isaiah, there's that, passage that Jesus quotes. And you can turn there, Matthew 15. That has to do with hearts. And I think that our pool of definitions, ideas, or thoughts, when we think about someone's heart not being into it, we take those definitions, those ideas, and those baggage, we take it with us and we put it onto this passage and then we spin it around and we come out with something completely different that I have definitely heard again and again. And yet that's not what Isaiah nor what Micah is talking about. And I want to end up going to Micah ultimately. But we're in Matthew 15. The first 9 verses. So the scribes, the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus, verse 1, from Jerusalem and said, "Why do disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God?" For the sake of your traditions. Verse 4, "For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, 'What you have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." Just stop there for a second. What's going on here? So leadership is told children, grown children, instead of taking care of your parents, you can give your money to the temple. And you're good. You're not doing anything wrong. You're doing what is right. And Jesus is saying that's a tradition of man. And by following it, you're what? You're disobeying the commandment of God. So in verse 7, he says, "You hypocrites. They say one thing, but they're doing another." The issue is what one says and what one then goes ahead and does. That's what's at issue here. That's what a hypocrite is. They're saying, we want to honor God and please God. Here's how you can do that. Here's how we want you to do that. We're teaching you to do this and telling you to do this. So they are hypocrites because they say they're honoring God, but in reality, they're leading out and dishonoring God. And then he quotes from references. They don't quote like we quote. He's referencing Isaiah. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now, think about this for a second. What word could you put there in place of heart that would make sense what came in the previous section, right? They're saying they want to honor God. That's connected to lips. They honor me with their lips. We get that. That's easy. But then he says, their hearts are far from me. How? What's going on? Well, it comes in what they are doing or what they are instructing others to do. And what they're instructing others to do is contrary to God. So biblically speaking, the idea of heart here has nothing to do with whether or not they were enthusiastic about it, whether or not they gave it all of their effort, whether or not they felt like doing what they were doing. The issue comes in saying they were honoring God, but in reality, when what they were doing, they were doing just the opposite. They were dishonoring God and displeasing God. This issue comes up in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, within Isaiah chapter 1, you have God telling the Israelites to stop bringing their sacrifices. Wait a second. Why stop bringing sacrifices? God commanded them. It's true. God commanded them, and so they were doing that. They were doing it to honor God. But everything else they were doing was showing that they didn't care to honor God. They weren't really honoring Him with their heart. I want to turn to Micah 6. We've been in Isaiah before. It's nice to see it in yet another place. And it struck me because I know Micah 6:8 very well. It's actually a little praise song. And yet, thinking more in depth about it in context of Micah and with Isaiah and knowing that whole condemnation that came first through Isaiah and then through Jesus, that these people honor me with their lips, their hearts are far from me, had me thinking about that and realizing, boy, Scripture really uses heart differently than we do. Isaiah 6, very quickly going to go through this whole chapter, like very quickly though. I don't mean I'm going to speak quickly. I mean I'm not going to say a whole lot about each verse. I'm already speaking quickly enough probably, right, Ellen? So Micah chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord. And your enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against His people, and He will contend with Israel. Does this sound familiar? We saw the same kind of language in Isaiah. The idea is, the picture here drawn to our mind is a courtroom made up of creation. And God is calling order, order in the court. Here comes the indictment, here comes the accusation and the proof or the evidence that supports the sentence that's going to come. Why creation? Well, creation condemns us. Romans 1. Again, you know what I'm talking about? No? 9 a.m. next Sunday. There's this idea of a courtroom scene here. And then it moves into verses 3 through 5, a little review of all that the Lord has done for His people. O my people, what have I done for you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. And then in verse 6 through 8, that which is lacking, the core issue, the heart of the matter, pun intended, pun is in terms of play on words, not joke. He says this, with what shall I come before the Lord? Speaking in another person, but the idea is asking the question, what do you come before the Lord with? Shall I come before with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? With 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? There is a call to offer the firstborn in Israel, not in the fire, not to death, but to the temple, and you redeem them. All this is imagery related to the very commands God has given His people about what they should do. And yet the context here is pointing to that this doesn't please God. And why is that? Verse 8. Because this is what's lacking. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. See, they were hypocrites in Micah's time, which is also Isaiah's time, which is exactly what Jesus called the Pharisees. Hypocrites, because they honored God with their lips. Yes, yes, we're doing service to God. We're honoring God. Glory be to God. God gets all the glory. But their hearts were far from Him. That is, but they were doing the exact opposite from what pleases God. They were actually disobeying Him and displeasing Him. In Micah 6, 9 through 12, he lays it out, gets very specific, that they are guilty. They're guilty. To use Isaiah's words that Jesus referenced, that they honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. They're going through the motions as far as the sacrifices are concerned, but actually, they don't care at all about pleasing God. How do you know that? Where do you see that? How do you know they have a heart issue? That they're hypocrites. Verse 9. The voice of the Lord cries to the city, and it is sound wisdom to fear your name. Hear of the rod of Him who appointed it. Can I forget any longer the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? And the scant measure that is accursed? Shall I acquit the man with wicked scales? And with a bag full of deceitful weights? And some of you guys are going, what in the world is that all about? They didn't have smartphones that can measure the room for you and do calculations. They used stones to weigh things on scales and decide how much I trade you salt for cinnamon or whatever it might be. And the point being that they have deceitful weights. You know, they have a rock that's supposed to weigh so much, but it doesn't really. So they're what? They're not upholding justice. Verse 12, your rich men are full of violence. Your inhabitants speak lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. And verses 13 to 16, this is the sentence, so to speak. This is what's rendered. It's part of the indictment. This is what they're accused of. This is the evidence that they're guilty, and this is now what they get. Therefore, I strike you with a grievous blow, making you desolate because of your sins. And you shall eat, but not be satisfied. There shall be hunger within you. You shall put away, but not preserve. And what you preserve, I will give to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread olives, but not anoint yourself with oil. You shall tread grapes, but not drink wine. For you have kept the statutes of Yahweh? No, Omri. and all the works of the house of Yahweh? No, of Ahab. And you have walked in their counsels, that I may make you a desolation and your inhabitants a blessing, so that you shall bear the scorn of my people. In all of this, what I'm focusing on is the issue of what does it mean biblically when someone's heart isn't in it? Because here's how we tend to apply that. Well, I don't feel like going to church, so I shouldn't go. Because if I go to church not feeling like I should go to church, then I'm a hypocrite. No. I don't want to read the Bible because I'm in a bad mood. I had a bad day and people are bad people and everything's going badly and I'm just not in a good mood. So I'm going to sit down with Haagen-Dazs and watch some TV instead because I don't feel like reading my Bible. And if I read my Bible and I don't feel like it, that's hypocrisy. No. That's not what Scripture is saying at all. You can do something you don't feel like doing and still honor God. That's not what's at stake here. You can meet with God's people, make them a priority. You can take advantage of the incredible privilege you have of having God's Word in your own language and spend time in it, even when you don't feel like it and you're not a hypocrite. The hypocrisy comes in. We've got a heart problem. Our hearts aren't in it. When we spend time with God's people, when we quote unquote go to church, when we're in God's Word, and we turn around and treat the people around us like poop. That's the point. They're going and offering sacrifices, but they walk out and they oppress and they cheat everyone and anyone. Not just foreigners, but their own people. What did Jesus tell the disciples? They will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. The reason I was thinking so much about that comment about their hearts are far from me, as I was reading Isaiah and Micah and talking about this with the class, is because, and I've said this before, and I say it again, not to beat a dead horse or get you all sick of this, but to be honest, I haven't felt like doing much that I should be doing for the past year. But I keep doing it. Does that make me a hypocrite? Does that mean my with my lips I honor God, but my heart is far from Him? No. Not at all. The question is not whether I have the warm fuzzies about turning the other cheek to my enemy after he just slapped it. Who feels like doing that? You think Jesus felt like going to the cross? Oh yeah, he had the warm fuzzies. They were coming out in drops of blood. He did it. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." See, we take in the concept of heart, and we think about it in one aspect, but that's not necessarily the aspect that Scripture is talking about when it talks about the heart. And it wasn't that the Israelites were supposed to stop offering the sacrifices. They were supposed to stop offering the sacrifices if, after offering the sacrifices, walk out the door, and then they go, "Oh, here, let's weigh that. Yeah, I'll trade you this much for this much." And they were cheating people. "Oh, you're a widow? You're an orphan? I don't care. Pay up. Okay, you can be my slave. You're a Jubilee? Released from slavery? For I don't know anything about that. You're my slave forever now, even though you're a fellow Israelite. Fellow Hebrew." That's what was going on. You bring that to today, It's quite clear. Our hearts are far from Him. Our hearts are not in it. Not when we don't feel like doing what He'd have us do. Not when we don't feel like trusting Him. But when we don't trust Him. When we don't obey Him. Now, it's true. You can obey him from the wrong motives, for the wrong reason. That is an issue. If you think obeying the Lord and doing what he says is going to get you salvation, Jesus is my example and I've got to be good enough and he showed me what to do, and if I do it, then I'll be right with God. The reason I'm right with God is because I go to church on Sunday, and the reason I'm right with God is because I read my Bible, and you just name a verse, a popular verse, and I can quote it. You want to do sword drills? I'll beat you there. If you think that because of that you're right with God, you've got a problem. And if you're doing that to get right with God, or to impress others and have them think you're spiritual and wonderful, then you've got wrong motivation. That's an issue. That's sin. But not feeling like obeying the Lord, and yet obeying the Lord, is not hypocrisy. That's not a failure of your heart to be in it. Oh, yes, your feelings might not be in it. Sometimes they are. Those are blessed days. That's what heaven will be. We will not only know and do what is pleasing to God, that will be our only joy and delight. And there will be no temptation to seek joy and delight in filth. And there are times of that. And we can taste and know that now. But whether or not we feel like it is no litmus test at all. Not at all. That's not what Jesus is talking about when he says, they honor with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's not what Isaiah was talking about. It's not the reason the Israelites are rebuked by Micah and Isaiah. Oh, you guys are offering up sacrifices, but I know you're not enjoying it. You don't really feel like going to the temple. You wish you were at home drinking another cup of coffee with your feet up. No, that's not the indictment. The indictment is you're rebelling against God in how you are treating God's people. That's the indictment. Not how do you feel about treating God's people the way you should, but how are you treating them? We're very concerned about feelings. Naturally. And to some degree, rightly so, because it feels bad to stick your finger in a fire. Some kids just have to learn that way. Hot, don't touch. Hot, don't touch. Ow, that does not feel good. I never want to do that again. Right? But we have a situation where we are so privileged. Our concern is not to have enough food in our bellies to live. Notice what's going to happen to them. They're not going to have enough food. Right? Our issue isn't getting enough food to exist. We want to make sure we have enough dessert also that same day. Our issue isn't, I'm cold, how can I possibly get a warm coat or warm clothes? Our issue is, I want another coat that matches my other pair of pants and goes better with this outfit. Our concern isn't, where are we going to stay tonight? My concern is, am I going to uncover my pillow soon enough so it gets nice and cold, because I really like a cold pillow. Right? What happens in that situation is we're so used to pleasure and things feeling good and pleasing us, and then we have wonderful movie companies who constantly tell us, follow your heart, whatever feels right. And we sit there going, yeah, that feels right to me. That's not reality. I use this example all the time. Because most people don't like doing this. I kind of like doing this. But most people don't. Do you really? You're tired. It's been a long day. You're ready for bed. Do you really feel like brushing your teeth? No. So don't. Just brush the ones you want to keep. You're then going to brush your teeth based upon conviction about what is right and good That's how we live the Christian life. What is right and good in God's eyes? What pleases Him? If I say I'm all about that, and yet my life is actually all about pleasing me and squashing everyone around me, then I honor Him with my lips, and my heart is far from Him. If I wake up on Sunday morning and I don't feel like coming here, welcome to life. But you get up and go to work, don't you? Even though you don't feel like it. You finish the assignment, even though you don't feel like it. So I know I've talked about this before, we've got to battle that wrong idea about what heart means and what role feelings play. Because Jesus was not condemning them for not feeling like doing the right thing when they did the right thing. He was condemning them for doing the wrong thing. And under Isaiah and Micah, the indictment came because while they did certain things, they were disobeying, disregarding, despising the Lord in the things that mattered most. And that is how they treated the others who had been delivered from Egypt and brought into the promised land, God's people. Does that mean they don't have to offer the sacrifices God commanded? If they treat people well and they have rocks that weigh the right amount of weight and just scales and they don't oppress the widow and the orphan and they're not... No. It's both. But when you have the one, the formal matters, and you do those, but not the interpersonal matters, that reveals hypocrisy. So our biggest concern should be not whether or not we feel like doing what is pleasing to God, what honors Him, what is a blessing to others, but whether or not we're actually doing it. Are we actually walking in what Jesus would have us walk in? Ephesians 4:1. I'm going to think of those words that Paul penned. Walk in a manner worthy of. It's not a command to feel like walking in a manner worthy of. It's a command to walk in a manner worthy of. If you have consistent feeling issues that you just never feel like doing what is pleasing to God, keep confessing that. And yet, if your faith is in Christ alone as having reconciled you to God and making you a child of God, then keep walking in what pleases Him. Hearts, biblically, heart, in that passage in both Matthew and Isaiah, is not about feeling, it's about doing. Which does get back to what we believe, and that's connected and definitely related. Conviction. It's not a matter of feeling like going to work, or feeling like going to school, or feeling like doing the assignment, or feeling like brushing your teeth. It's a matter of conviction. Is there conviction over what honors God? If there is, you do it. Join me in prayer. Father, I long for that day with the resurrection body, both free from the weaknesses and the pains that come with this one, as well as the sin that, though it is not my master, still dwells in me. When that body is gone, because the resurrection body has been put on, the imperishable has been put on, when we will be transformed in the likeness of Christ, I pray that until then, we would be transformed in the likeness of Christ. That we would not honor Him with false profession of caring to please Him, but that we would actually live Christ, not to gain Your favor, Father, not to earn salvation, but in thankful, grateful obedience by a work of Your Spirit, would live Christ. And that as we do, Father, I pray that our affections, what we perceive as, feel like is pleasing and good, would also be transformed. But even when our feelings don't match what is right in Your eyes, I pray for Your grace to carry on, to press on towards the call, the upward prize in Christ, as beloved children, secure in with an inheritance kept for us in heaven, kept by Your power, that we would move forward one step after the other in obedience in all things, particularly in how we relate to one another, to those of the household of God as well as those outside of the household of God. Father, strengthen us to that task. Carry us. That it could not be said of us that we say one thing and do another. That we profess to honor You, but instead disobey You. Grant this, Father, according to Your mercy, by a work of Your Spirit, because of, for, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.